Let me show you this. What's nice is this was translated to English from the Dutch Day correspondent, and the author of it, here I go, I'm going to ruin this, is Moritz Martjen. The title is probably good. Maybe better if you don't read this story on public Wi-Fi. We took a hacker to a cafe, and in 20 minutes, he knew where everyone was born, what schools they attended, and the last five things they Googled. And he did it with a hardware device. And I'm not sure what the hardware device is. They simply describe it as a small black device about the size of a pack of cigarettes with an antenna on it. And he did a really kind of some clever stuff with it. He got the password of the Wi-Fi network, had the hardware device join the Wi-Fi network, then had his computer, probably using, I don't know what software, but some software on the computer, to then see all the devices on the open Wi-Fi access port, but more than that, to also see which other Wi-Fi networks the devices were previously connected to. I thought that was interesting.
Yep.
And then using that to do a man in the middle by spoofing those pre-connected networks, their home networks or whatever. It was fascinating. I presume it was a man in the middle attack. It's hard to, you know, this is an article designed for kind of a general public, so it's not very deep in the technical details. But
right.
Essentially, as far as I can tell, and I guess you've read it, and so you can confirm this if it's true, it looked like he made a man in the middle using a spoofed Wi-Fi access points and then was able to see a whole lot of stuff, including people's previous searches, scanning for names, passwords, sexual orientation. He found a woman who had just recently moved to Holland, and she was searching for health information, all sorts of stuff, where she was born, where she studied. She has an interest in yoga. She's bookmarked an online offer for an anti-snore mantra, recently visited Thailand and Laos, and shows a remarkable interest in sites that offer tips on how to save a relationship. So I read this and I got scared enough that I said, we're going to be on a boat. Normally, I just I tether or hotspot to my phone, and it's LTE instead of using an open access point. Usually that's right. Faster, and that's safer, right?
Right, absolutely.
So I tether the phone and I use that. But on the boat, I'm not going to have a choice because we're at sea. We have to use the satellite internet provided by the boat. That is a viciously open Wi-Fi network because it's 5,000 other people on it.
Yep.
So I immediately went out, and I probably won't get it in time, and ordered a tiny hardware firewall. I've used these before. Hotspot VPN offers them. They're free if you subscribe for a year for $91. That seems like a good deal. And it's just one of those little Marvel or some other, you know, small processor-based device that will join the Wi-Fi network or an Ethernet network.
Establish a VPN tunnel.
Establish
out a tunnel. Hotspot VPN.
And then create either a Wi-Fi hotspot or another Ethernet connection. But it also can run a Tor connection through that as well. Which seemed like a nice – this is newer hardware, and so it can do more than the old hardware I had. And so that seemed like a good idea, yes?
Yeah, I think so. So what is the problem with Wi-Fi is that it's like a hub, in the traditional wired Ethernet sense, where the way a hub worked is that any data coming in to any port of the hub – was rebroadcast out of all the other ports of the hub. So it was very easy to do so-called promiscuous sniffing in order, you know, basically any person who was just sucking in the traffic on their port of the hub was seeing all of the network's traffic. Now, this is not as easily done when you switch, when you change to an Ethernet switch, because it intelligently learns on the fly what MAC addresses of devices are connected to which ports. Even if it's a few switches downstream, it still learns, oh, down this wire is this collection of MAC addresses. So ultimately, only one device is on a given switch port, and that switch the Ethernet switch has learned who to send that MAC address's traffic to. And so the beauty of that is that while they're not super secure, they're way more secure than a system which simply broadcasts everything on the network to every other person on the hope that someone somewhere is the recipient. So moving from hubs to switches was a great step forward. Well, in that sense, going to open Wi-Fi is a great step backwards, because we're back into radio, which is inherently promiscuous, so that everything anyone sends is in the air. And where there may be some segmentation, I assume on a sufficiently large yacht or boat or ship, that they'll have multiple
some VLANs or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they'll probably have multiple access points and probably have those connected with a switch. So you may not be able to see the traffic of somebody at the other end. You know, if you're on the bow,
right,
you may not be able to get the traffic from someone on the stern, but you would certainly, and this is certainly the case in a single access point, coffee shop scenario, have access to all the traffic of everyone there. And what I liked about your stumbling over the story is that it takes us out of this theoretical, ARP spoofing, maybe that can happen, or, you know, access point spoofing, maybe. And very much the way Fire Sheep, we remember back in the days before Facebook, to name one prominent website, went to security, to TLS, HTTPS connections, where Fire Sheep was simply using promiscuous sniffing on open Wi-Fi to collect all the unencrypted traffic from everyone there. And what FireSheep was doing was grabbing the cookies which were being sent in the clear after the person had logged in to their service. So somebody would back then, Facebook would bring up a secure connection only to protect the username and password. Then Facebook would respond to the browser's query with a cookie, setting a cookie in the browser, and then drop security, switch back to unencrypted connections, because it was believed, and there was some truth to it back then, that computers were not fast enough to do encryption in addition to everything else, and that it would slow things down. And especially at the server end, because all of these encrypted connections were being concentrated into Facebook servers, they said, we only want to do that, only when we really need to. So that was sort of old school thinking, which increasingly has been abandoned, because we now have hardware coprocessors that are able to handle the overhead of the crypto establishment. We have faster crypto, the elliptic curve crypto, which is the term we're going to be hearing later today about the whole Juniper mess. That's way faster than the traditional RSA-style handshake establishment. So we've had progress in crypto. We've had progress in machine speed. Power is going up. Cost is coming down. Now it just makes it more economically feasible to encrypt everything all the time. But even in that environment, it is still possible in a Wi-Fi environment to send a user's machine a disassociate packet, which is the normal connection shutdown for a Wi-Fi connection. And so if a disassociate packet is sent, that breaks the wireless connection. And from reading between the lines of what was published in that story, the guy was able to acquire from the various users broadcasts of the SSIDs that they know of, a list of their SSIDs. Most people have their systems set to automatically connect to previously known access points. Like when you're back at home, you don't want to be harassed to need to do anything. So you just say, yeah, fine. So he was able to, with this little bit of hardware, to spoof the SSID of the beacon of a known access point, having obtained that from a client's machine that he had disassociated with the coffee shop system, and it connected without complaining. Now he had a direct connection to it and was able that way to establish himself as a man in the middle. Now, it's still the case that without being able to force a certificate on the user, he wouldn't be able to crack their encryption, but he may be able to do things, for example, like do a HTTPS or TLS downgrade, where there would be some way to get that user not to use encrypted connections, and then get non-encrypted on, you know, traffic on the fly and start gathering data.
Yeah, because spoofing the certificate, there would be evidence of that.
Exactly. The user would be notified that the site they thought they were connecting to was trying to use a certificate that was not known to their browser. And browsers used to let you push past that. Now it just says no.
Nope.
They're just, sorry, go somewhere else. This is the danger of current non-encrypted Wi-Fi when there's really a malicious actor present. You can do the Firefox, the old Fire Sheep tool, it was a passive sniffer. It was just sniffing the traffic that was more or less non-encrypted at the time, but if you step up your game to an active attack, and this guy certainly was, but it's wireless, so no one knows what he's got in his backpack that he's able to do this. So I agree with you completely, Leo. In an environment where you're going to be spending a lot of time a ship like you're going to be on is very much like a hotel. A hotel, right, as we've talked about in the past, is another, you know, very high, you know, a target-rich environment. If the hotel was using hubs, or now, of course, hotels are often using Wi-Fi now. And so there, once again, they're creating a problem if they're not an encrypted Wi-Fi.